Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. Welcome to the program. Thanks, Fats. Play it a little more. People are very depressed right now. They're very upset. They're agitated. Except for the gangsters and the crooks. Except for the Wall Street crooks. Everyone else is miserable in the country. The crooks are laughing all the way to Switzerland. Boeing 747s that they own are lined up. They're lined up. From here to Palm Beach. All right, it's enough already. Clinton, Obama, Bush. Bush? Where is Bush? Where is Waldo? The sky is falling and no one can find Waldo. I wake up this morning and I see this article from the New York Sun. Food rationing confronts breadbasket of the world. I read the article. I scratch my head. I couldn't believe it. Many parts of America, long considered the breadbasket of the world, are now confronting a once unthinkable phenomenon, food rationing. Major retailers in New York and areas of New England and in California are limiting purchases of rice, flour, and cooking oil as demand outstrips supply. Do you hear? Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This is in your lifetime, schmuck. Moron, golfer idiot. Golfer idiot, put your clubs down, you schmuck. Your country was sold out from underneath you. Waldo did it to you. Waldo did it to you. Rice, flour, cooking oil is being rationed? Now, somebody is saying, I'm surprised the Bush administration hasn't slapped export controls on wheat. Do you know what that means? What does it mean by export controls on wheat? It means that the Asians are lining up around the globe to buy our wheat. And the gangsters, as you well know, the same gangsters who busted our Wall Street and busted our currency, making it a shaky currency, by the way, and it's not a pleasant thing for me to say. I'm not a poor man. What do you think? I'm a communist here screaming revolution? I'm not. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. I'm not on the bottom. I worked all of my life to get where I am. And now I see the crooks who are really on the top shafting all of us. Everybody else. Everybody else. Now, what do we mean by export controls on wheat? What are you going to wind up eating? Tell me what's going to be left to eat if they're allowed to export all of our wheat. You know, we used to be the breadbasket of the world. Under the Bush administration, are we to become the basket case of the world? From the breadbasket of the world to the basket case of the world, what is left to sell? Tell me what's left to sell. The wheat. The wheat. They sold everything else out. The oil, the timber, the gold, it's gone. So what's he selling now? Wheat. Now you'll hear the idiots tell you, well, it's a free market. Let it float on the world market. Let the free market determine it. If you want to buy any more of this phony Republican rubbish, go ahead. But don't include me in it. I've never been a Republican. I've always been an independent. I've always feared both parties because the word party is the operational word. When you hear the word Democrat Party, you think of the word party. When you hear the word Republican Party, think of the word party. Party on! That's what it means to them. I'm surprised the Bush administration hasn't slapped export controls on wheat. So inventories are very short. Do you realize what this means? Rice, wheat, going through the ceiling, flour, rice, wheat, cooking oil. Costco warehouse in Mountain View, California. Shoppers grew frustrated and occasionally uttered expletives as they searched in vain for the large sacks of rice they usually buy. Where's the rice? An engineer from Palo Alto, California said. You should be able to buy something like rice. This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Oh, yeah. So you have states that are going bankrupt. You have corrupt politicians who say that we have to raise taxes instead of saying we're cutting off all services to illegal aliens. I can balance the budget in the state of California in 30 days. I could cut off every nickel to every illegal alien. You know what that means? No medical care, no education, and the budget is balanced. Don't raise my taxes. Cut the money off to them. Now, why do the politicians talk about raising taxes and cutting services, but they never mention the illegal immigration word? Why is that? Why are they more sacrosanct than the American people themselves? Why is it that during the phony debate last week between Clinton and Obama, not one question by those fraudulent vermin was about immigration? You call those people from CBS newscasters, whoever they were from, I don't even know what network they're from, they're all the same. NBC, CBS, ABC, they're all the same to me. They're all cut from the same mold of liars. Here's another story for you. If you think you live in America anymore, you think you have free speech, listen to this story. Colorado lawmaker removed from podium over Mexicans' remark. Denver. A Colorado legislator known for kicking a photographer was ordered to leave the podium of the State House of Representatives, so-called, today because he called Mexican workers illiterate peasants. State Rep. Douglas Bruce, who has a history of provoking controversy, made the comment during debate on a bill that would allow the state to help immigrant workers get temporary federal visas. The measure is intended to ease a shortage of farm workers in the state. So he gets up and he says, I would like to have the opportunity to state at the microphone why I don't think we need 5,000 more illiterate peasants in Colorado. His outburst drew an audible gasp from the House. How dare you, said State Rep. Kathleen Curry, a Democrat. She was offended, of course, by the truth. She told a Republican lawmaker he was no longer recognized to speak. Now, they're gonna give him an ethics complaint. They'll require a hearing, possible suspension. You can't say the truth in California. You can't say the truth in Colorado. You can't say the truth in New York. No, you have to cater to illegal aliens, Islamo-fascists. Everybody but Americans need to be catered to. And then the Associated Puke writer says, the Mexican consulate in Denver did not immediately return a call seeking comment. Now, why would this Associated Press loser call the Mexican consulate for comment? Isn't it true that they're illiterate peasants? Isn't that what illegal immigrants are, illiterate peasants? What is embarrassing about calling an illegal alien an illiterate peasant when that's what they are? I don't understand the anger here. Florida luxury home market shows signs of wear. So we read that housing prices in Florida are shaky, except in the high end, and blah, blah, blah. Then you read the whole article, and you get to the bottom. And it says, listen to this one now. You're going to see how it ties to the gangsters on Wall Street. An oceanfront estate owned by philanthropist Sidney Kimmel sold this month for $81.5 million, the full asking price. The broker would not reveal the buyer of the $81 million house, but a local newspaper identified him as John Thornton, former president of Goldman Sachs. Now, does the name Goldman Sachs ring a bell to anyone out there? How is it that Goldman Sachs seems to be riding above all of the storm? Well, I don't know the answer to that. They could be brighter than everybody. That's probably true after, you know, after all, you well know they know they are. If they could take someone from their executive suite and put them into the Treasury Department several administrations in a row, you know that you don't live in the United States of America. You live in the United States of Goldman Sachs. And to Goldman Sachs, the bottom line is what matters. It's not borders, language, and culture. It's profit, greed, and venality. It's not borders, language, culture. It's profit, greed, and venality. That's my opinion. If you don't like it, it's too darn bad. This is the Savage Nation, where psychological nudity reigns. And if you think those stories are agitating, you're wrong, because I haven't read the best one yet. I'm going to get to it the minute I come back, but I'll give you a hint right now. Here's an article I read that made me so crazy last night. In the middle of the night, I didn't know what to do. Here's the article, planted by the greedy pigs who are trying to destroy Colt Arms Manufacturing of Hartford, Connecticut, and to outsource the manufacture of our weapons for our men to Europe. That's right. I warned you that these vermin, these greedy scum, these vermin have no country. And by the way, some of them are in the military, as you saw with the Air Force. They're as low as they get. They should be taken, and if found guilty, they should be shot for treason. If they are found to be profiting, war profiteering, and getting kickbacks, they should be shot, and it should be televised. And the money should go for the men who lost their legs and eyes in Iraq. Listen to this article planted in the Associated Puke. Colt's grip on military rifle criticized. So now they're talking about the M4 rifle and how expansive it is. And it's not a good gun made by Colt. So now they get a bunch of low-life senators and congressmen who say we should outsource the manufacture of the number one standard weapon for our men in the military and send it over to Belgium and make it and let the Heckler and Koch company make our weapon for our men instead of Colt Defense of Hartford, Connecticut. Now, I warned you, and I did so kind of sarcastically a few months back, when I said if these greedy pirates are not stopped, if they're not hung when they're caught stealing like this or getting kickbacks like this, if they're not hung and it's not televised, I warned you that you'd wake up one day and one of these greedy SOB generals will get up and tell you with a smile, a toothpaste smile, a big old smile, that they've decided to outsource the military to the Chinese military, and that from now on there would be no more American citizens in the military for cost effectiveness and to let the free market reign. Since China has so many extra men, they're going to be importing 1 million Chinese citizens to become our military because it's cost effective. They'll work for less. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand how far this is, how we have come under George Bush? And I blame Bush. The buck stops there. I know the Democrats are the biggest pigs that you've ever seen. Representative Jack Murtha, the great war hero, for example, is the biggest recipient of pork in American history. He's a Democrat, by the way. So when it comes to greed, don't think it's just the Republicans. We have an out-of-control government military complex that's out of control. The military-industrial complex is out of control. I'll be right back. Welcome back to these three main stories. Food rationing, United States of America. We used to be the breadbasket of the world. We'd have become the basket case of the world. Question, should this government slap export controls on wheat before we wind up eating shoe leather? Colorado lawmaker removed from podium because he said, quote, I would like to have the opportunity to state at the microphone why I don't think we need 5,000 more illiterate peasants in Colorado. And the liberals went insane. Finally, one of the most expensive houses in history sold for $81 million in Palm Beach, oceanfront estate. Buyer identified as John Thornton, former president of Goldman Sachs. WOR, John, go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I enjoy your show very much. However, I disagree with you on the immigration issue. First of all, our whole economy in America is based on using labor from South America.
All right, let's pause right here. That is true, but that's not the only answer. Let me explain what I've written about in four best-selling books. That is true because we have a lazy welfare class in America and a prison population that could easily be utilized to pick the vegetables and do the menial work, for example. And let me explain that in more detail. You live in New York City. How many able-bodied bums do you drive past every day sitting in doorways drinking beer?
Are you talking about Americans or illegal immigrants?
I don't know. What are you talking about? So you see both Americans and illegals sitting in doorways.
I don't see neither one. I'm sorry to tell you, most of the.
Oh, so everybody's working in New York City. Everybody has a job. So who's on welfare in New York City?
Well, I would say probably few of the, you know, areas like Bronx, Harlem.
Well, look, John, I'm a former social worker. I worked in the welfare department of New York City way, way back in the mid-60s. I saw welfare fraud then. I saw bums on welfare who were able-bodied, who were holding down jobs, who were double-dipping and collecting welfare. But let me be very specific. Who is it in America, do you think, who used to pick, for example, the fruit in the fields of California, in the fruit orchards? It was poor white people. If you read John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, you will know that it was white people who lost their farms as a result of the Dust Bowl, so to speak, that swept through Oklahoma. They didn't go to the government. The government didn't have the money to bail them out. So they packed up their trucks. They went out to the West Coast, and they picked fruit. That's how they made a living. You think anybody wanted to pick fruit? No, but they had to because the government wasn't there to pay them off to sit on their behinds. We have millions of people in America who could work doing the menial jobs that are being done by Mexicans right now. That's my point.
But the point is that those people you are saying, they're not capable of doing the jobs that the immigrants do in America.
Well, no, they wouldn't. Well, there's two things. You say they're not capable? You mean they don't want to do the work because they've gotten fat and lazy sitting home waiting for the welfare check. That's what you mean. No. They can be taught to work again. Now let's take the next population of potential labor. We have over a million people in incarceration. Many of them belong in incarceration. But many of them have committed minor offenses, particularly in the area of drug usage, not drug selling. If they were given the opportunity of taking the last 6 months of their sentence in a field instead of in a prison with a reduction of their sentence, I think many of them would prefer working in a field as farmhands rather than being in a prison.
Mr. Savage, those people who are illegals who work in America, they're skilled. They're good at what they do.
Well, now you're changing the argument. You just changed the argument because typically, as a liberal, once you lost the argument, you already shifted it. Now you're talking about those coming in on the B-1B visas, right, for more technical skills, right?
I'm talking about illegal immigrants from South America. They're better painters than most Americans. They're better at cleaning. They're better at making food.
Yes, they are better because they're more desperate. So we need to make our underclass more desperate, not more comfortable. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? The welfare state is over. We can't afford it. The currency has become worth about 30-40% less than it was when Bush took office. We're in a whole new world here, John. We're no longer the rich, fat America who can afford to give out money and give out welfare. We have to retrain the entire country and the entire population to the New World Order. And that means making the bums on welfare more uncomfortable. That means releasing people from prison earlier if they'll work the fields. That means deporting the illegal aliens, John. Don't tell me that people can't work. Tell me they won't work. And don't tell me they can't learn to work. They will learn to work if that's the way they're going to put bread on the table. Thanks for the call.
Savage.
I would like to have the opportunity to state at the microphone why I don't think we need 5,000 more illiterate peasants in Colorado.
Representative Bruce, you are no longer recognized in the well.
Shut up, you left-wing. How dare you, Kathleen Curry, a Democrat? You're a disgrace to not let a man speak the truth. Listen to what's come to this country. A man stands up with a real pair of you-know-what, with a real love of America, and some feminist rat in Colorado says, how dare you? How dare you speak the truth and call illegal aliens illiterate peasants? What are they, Einsteins? Everyone's an Einstein from Mexico. We need every one of them. Get on your hands and knees. Go look at michaelsavage.com, you moron liberals, you. Don't you dare tell me they all come here to work. I'm so sick of that big lie. That's the corporate lie that you people feed us day and night. It's the corporations that want the workers. We don't benefit from it. They do. Make no mistake about it. Tell that to the pregnant woman in Texas who was executed by two illegal aliens from Mexico. Because when they tried to carjack her after carjacking two others, she put up a fight because her baby was in the car. And the illegal alien from Mexico apparently or allegedly shot her dead and stole the car with the baby in it. You rat liberals. You vermin liberals, you think you can get away with this rhetoric forever? You're making us crazy in this country, and I'm warning you, one day you're going to pay for it. You smell victory. Let me tell you something. You know what you're smelling? Your own fantasies. You don't have a victory in the offering. You have a fantasy in the offering being fed by the rats in the media who are all left-wingers like you. You haven't even heard from America. We haven't voted. There's been no vote. There's just been a mass hysteria of CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the rest telling you Obama, Clinton, Obama, Clinton, Obama, Clinton, every day drumming it into the head. Global warming, Obama, Clinton, global warming, Obama, blah, 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 blah. The people don't believe a word of it. We're sick of illegal aliens. We're sick of liberal Democrats. We're sick of high taxes. That's the reality of America. But you don't hear any of this because your team owns the media. You are the media. Who else would take the job? It doesn't pay enough for a person who wants to make a reasonable living. What person who can get more than a B average in college, would become a journalist today? Tell me. Who would take it but a drug addict or a pervert to become a journalist? Do you know anybody who wants to be a journalist? Why would they want to be a journalist? Tell me. Do you know anybody who wants to be a bank teller? Same people who can become bank tellers become journalists. Who would want that job? So that's why you get the kind of rubbish published in the papers today. Play that again and listen to this now. Here is a real American lawmaker in Colorado who stands up and simply states he doesn't want to grant what is it they were giving out? They want more farm workers in the state of Colorado. So they're trying to get around federal immigration law, and they want to grant some kind of a green card to the farm workers in the state. So this guy gets up and says why he doesn't want it. And listen to the feminist rat start to rant. Listen.
I would like to have the opportunity to state at the microphone why I don't think we need 5,000 more illiterate peasants in Colorado.
Representative Bruce, you are no longer recognized in the well. How dare you?
How dare you? How dare you? The one thing she said was true is you're no longer recognized in the well, because they're all in the well. So now they're going to put him before a formal ethics complaint. Oh, boy. And then the Associated Press moron concludes the article by saying the Mexican consulate in Denver did not immediately return a call seeking comment. Who cares what the Mexican consulate thinks? This is our country, not Mexico's country. Let them go back where they came from if they don't like hearing what we have to say about them. Let them go back already. Whose country is this anymore? I know what I'm saying, and I'm telling you, this is boiling over. You got the vermin on Wall Street raping everybody, debasing the currency. Basically, they sold the dollar off, if you don't know. You want to know a little bit more about it. And I'm going to repeat to you again, I am not in the lower echelon of income earners in this country. I'm in the upper echelon, just so you know where I'm coming from. Don't think I'm some marginal communist crank on the left wing here, okay? I'm in the upper echelon of income earners. I know people who earn a great deal of money. And let me tell you something, they all feel and think the same way that I do. They've never seen anything like this. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And some of them are worth a lot of money. And I mean a lot of money. They're terrified of what's happening to this country's financial system. They're terrified of what's happening to the political system when an unknown fraud like Obama can get this far with the help from the press. And his past connections to radicals is only now dribbling out. They're astonished that a man of this low caliber can hypnotize so many millions of fools. They say, is it the drugs? Is it the lack of education? I said, I don't have the immediate answer for you. But it's astonishing to me that a man with so many connections to bomb throwers, revolutionaries, white haters, America haters, could get this far and con the people simply because of white liberal guilt. Primarily because of white liberal guilt, bending over backwards to say that he is the dime store savior they've been looking for, the tin pot savior they've all been waiting for. He is the man above all men. They don't know anything about him. They don't know what he stands for. All they know is he's the tin pot savior they've all been waiting for. Somebody over the weekend said that you have a great show called The Savage Nation. They said, when do you think it's going to happen that they will suddenly declare it the Obamanation? I said, well, I hope they do it immediately. I hope they name it the Obamanation tomorrow because it's very close to what it is, an abomination. So you heard it first here on the Savage Nation. Yes, let them call it the Obamanation. And soon they'll hear the resonance of the word that most aptly associates with it, the abomination. Kansas City, Missouri. Tony, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. This is Tony Rizzavato. I have a question for you. Why is there is such a gross, inadequate vetting of Obama? I noted that they've touched on Reverend Wright and William Ayers, but they haven't gone into depth on Tony Rezko. They haven't
Tony Rezko's on trial right now, and they won't cover the trial. But these are the same people who will not cover the reality of global warming. Well, what do you expect from a press that's filled with yellow journalists?
And then also that Rashid Khalati connection. The American.
Look, you're raising very important points, but they're flying over the heads of most people, Tony. Obama's connections to William Ayers just came out. Obama's connections to other radicals have come out. The fact that he sits in a church for 20 years with a man who hates America and hates white people and says he never heard those remarks. How does he get away with that, Tony?
Because of the liberal press.
Well, it goes beyond that. It's a gigantic conspiracy. Thank you for the call. Why beat up the obvious? What would you like to talk about? Houston, Texas. Daniel, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
How are you doing, Dr. Savage? I'd like to address a story that, or something that happened to me last night that's going to infuriate you. I have an illegal alien next-door neighbor who houses his dog outside in the natural elements to be exposed to cold nights, rainy nights, you know, sunny days, beating down on this poor dog that's chained up and inevitably barks all night long and incessantly for hours. Last night I happened to be dreaming that Fats Domino was singing Blue Monday to me, and sure enough, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning to that dog barking, and it has certainly been a Blue Monday. Get this.
Well, I have no comment other than if you'd like to reinforce your view of illegal aliens and their view of dogs, go on to michaelsavage.com. There are two stories that will make you very sad and angry. Illegals accused of killing woman who was protecting baby during carjacking. Mom refused to give up keys with child inside car. If you saw the film Apocalypto by Mel Gibson, you're looking at the face of Apocalypto, and the face of Apocalypto is all over America. And if that's what you want in America, hearts cut out and rolled down pyramids, that's what you're going to get unless you stop it, and stop it cold. Thanks for the call. Play Blue Monday for a minute. So I can get a breath of air here.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day.
Here are the rest of the stories I didn't get to. Muslims tell McCain to drop Islamic terror label. That's amazing. A coalition of American Muslim groups is demanding that John McCain stop using the adjective Islamic to describe terrorists and extremist enemies of the United States. Well, he could always say something else. You could call them terrorists and not apply the word Islamic. After all, that would be very, very nice if he would do that, but I don't think he will. Here's our dear friend, the traitor, the Benedict Arnold of our time, Jimmy Carter. Hamas leader vows not to recognize Israel after Carter trumpets group's willingness to be a good neighbor. Carter's passport should be revoked. All federal money to his so-called Carter Center should be revoked. Jimmy Carter should be arrested upon re-arrival in America and tried under the Sedition Act. Next story. Why doesn't Bush impose export controls to keep Americans from food rationing? Good question. But this is not a real story to most people. And, you know, you don't believe me. You got rationing starting now in this country. You got rationing in some of the big stores on rice, on wheat products, on grain products, on flour, on rice, on cooking oil. Would you ever believe in your lifetime this would happen? A 20-pound bag of rice, Indian-grown basmati rice, $15.99. In another store, we read another story, the prices are going through the roof. Here's $30 for a 25-pound bag. This is almost double what it was a year ago. So if you think that it's only gasoline at almost $5 a gallon here in California, you're mistaken. We have a runaway inflation. It's a runaway inflation that is tied in some parts to the mortgage meltdown, but it's tied in many ways to this endless war because of the corruption in the contracting process. And don't ignore that. Don't look the other way on that. I've told you the stories over and over again of the corruption, and as you well know, some of the corrupt contractors are in jail. Just think of Abramson. But he's the tip of the iceberg. Why is it that no Democrats and Democrat-related corrupt contractors and businessmen have been tried and put in jail? Answer, the Democrats control the House, which determines which investigations will be conducted. That's why they're able to rape the Treasury the way they're getting away with it under Pelosi's gang. And make no mistake about it, She is the most embarrassing speaker in the history of the United States of America. She has made a gigantic fraud and mess out of the speakership. Has anybody looked at Nancy Pelosi X year later as to what she's done? Has she fulfilled any of her promises? No, they're all fat and happy. They've never had it so good. They weren't against the war. They were against the fact that the Republicans were the only ones who were benefiting from the war contracting. But now that the Republicans got smart and let the other party dip their beaks into the well of contracting and war profiteering, suddenly Feinstein has been silent. Boxer has been silent. Pelosi is more or less silent. Murtha is silent. In fact, the whole all the voices against the war have been silenced because there's enough money to go around to silence the entire chorus of critics, except those of us who understand this war has gone on too long. It's gone on longer than World War II, and we understand it's a go-slow process in order to milk as much money as they can out of it. And I'll raise the question I raised last week. Why are we not demanding that Iraq's oil be used to pay us, the taxpayer, back for the $500 billion at least that has been spent to liberate 24 million ingrateful Iraqis? The cost is said to be $500 million, I think, $500 billion. I don't believe it. I think it's much higher than that. It's one of the reasons our currency is devalued. It's one of the reasons we're facing a currency crisis. It's one of the reasons we're facing a commodity crisis. And that is because we are not demanding that our legislators demand that Iraqi oil be used to pay for war. Remember, there used to be liberal bumper stickers in the beginning that said, no war for oil? Well, now the bumper sticker should be, yes, oil for war. And I am very serious about this. Now, the only reason you're not hearing this idea being discussed is because it makes sense. The only reason you're not hearing being discussed is because the Seven Sister Oil Companies, which control both parties, do not want to see greater supply of oil. They want to see increased demand and less supply to drive the price of oil and petroleum derivatives up, 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 up. Because think about what I'm saying. If the gigantic reserves of Iraqi oil were released onto the general market and the first revenues were used to replenish our U.S. Treasury, the price of oil would come down. The price of gasoline would come down. You can't have that happen. Because if you did, why, it wouldn't be good for the Seven Sister Oil Companies. Understand, that's why we have problems in the country. It's the war, stupid. Oil for war or war for oil? You decide. I'll be back.
Savage.
Think that this is not a fixed election, you're crazy. Let me tell you that. And I'm terrified that McCain was set up as a fall guy for Hillary, to be honest with you. I'm not sure that he's not going to take a fall. He came out of nowhere. You know he was finished because of his ties to Kennedy and the illegal immigration Amnesty Act. They shafted Romney, threw him out of the picture, pushed McCain up there knowing that the guy was kind of not really capable of winning. Or that would lose in the final debate because he doesn't have the brains or the energy to debate them. I don't think he can. I think they could run rings around him. That doesn't mean I wouldn't vote for him over Hillary. I probably would. But I think in a debate she'll chew him to pieces. Because if the man really became the fighter pilot that's inside of him, he could win. But they've so muted him over the years, or he's muted himself, to become this muddling kind of get along. He's sort of like The Vice President Gerald Ford and then Gerald Ford type, remember him? He's sort of that muddling Gerald Ford type of Republican who pretends to be a nice guy, doesn't go for the throat. He's not hungry enough for this job. She's hungry for the job. She's real hungry for the job. Obama's hungry to show his arrogance for the job. She's hungry to be the first woman president. Truthfully, if she won, we'd be more stable than we would with Obama. If she won, it would be there'd be very little difference between if she won and McCain won. Perhaps on the Supreme Court level and some judges, there'd be a little difference on social issues. But other than that, there wouldn't be a fundamental great difference between either of them, in my opinion. They both represent the same moneyed interests, which in a way is good, but in a way is bad because the moneyed interests today are not that oriented towards America. They're not really interested in protecting the people, nor in borders, language, and culture. That's the problem. See, in the past, if you threw your lot in with the rich people At least you got somebody who could protect you in terms of national security. Today you can't count on it, which is why I told you this story is very alarming. We have a wonderful weapon in the M14. It's made by Colt Defense of Hartford, Connecticut. And yet we read that Senator Tom Coburn, Republican Oklahoma, and a group of others are screaming that we've got to get rid of the M4 and we got to turn it over to the free market and we got to let the Belgian gun manufacturer and the HK produced by Germany's Heckler & Koch compete to make our number one battlefield carbine. And I say it can't have come to this. It's impossible that we would have a Republican and businessmen so linked together. And my headline is, corrupt pals want to outsource military guns. Where is this going to end? When is this going to end? You want to wake up and read that America needs a better tank. And instead of manufacturing the Abrams tank, the greatest battle tank ever created, we're going to open it up to the free market and we may buy the German whatever they call it. We may buy the French whatever you call it. Or to save money, the Defense Department, because they think so much of the American people, is having China heavy industries make our tanks for us. And because the Boeing company cannot make us an air tanker, we've turned it over to the French. That just happened. And we still don't know who lobbied on behalf of the European company as opposed to Boeing. We're still trying to get John McCain on the show to answer to the Savage Nation. And I don't believe he's ever going to come on the show, by the way. Now, before this hour is closed out, my excellent staff just dug up this soundbite from the state of Oklahoma. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear. This is a furtherance to what you just heard. When you listen to a fascist liberal woman cutting off a Republican who dared say the obvious about no more visas for illegal aliens, listen to this fascist feminist. Go ahead.
Jepson Bruce, this bill has to do
with
labor.
Coming?
Don't argue with the chair. The bill has to do with the labor issues identified in the pilot program. We do not need an entire explanation of how you feel about immigration. I want you to focus on the bill, or I won't recognize you further.
You're asking me to leave?
I said focus on the bill, or I won't recognize you further. Okay. You have the opportunity to speak to the bill right in here and now.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I read the bill word for word, and I thought it was about importing up to 5,000 additional aliens into this country.
Now, that woman, by the way, should be taken out and put into prison for conducting a communist-like cell in the state of Colorado. Are you people that stupid that you'd elect a feminist hack like her?
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Jepson Bruce, this bill has to do
with
labor.
Coming?
Don't argue with the chair. The bill has to do with the labor issues identified in the pilot program. We do not need an entire explanation of how you feel about immigration. I want you to focus on the bill, or I won't recognize you further.
You're asking me to leave?
I said focus on the bill, or I won't recognize you further. Okay. You have the opportunity to speak to the bill right in here and now.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I read the bill word for word, and I thought it was about importing up to 5,000 additional aliens into this country. I would like to have the opportunity to state at the microphone why I don't think we need 5,000 more illiterate peasants in Colorado.
Representative Bruce, you are no longer recognized in the well. How dare you?
How dare you? She sounds like one we have here in the Bay Area. Another ex-welfare recipient. She sounds drugged up, this one, to me. I can't confirm or deny that. But here we finally have a state representative, Douglas Bruce, who has the nerve to stand up to these left-wing rats and say that he doesn't want to give out temporary green cards to illegal aliens, and he calls them illiterate peasants, and the left-wing goes crazy. And you say you have free speech in Colorado? And then the schmuck who writes for Associated Press, Stephen Paulson, the headline is Colorado lawmaker removed from podium over Mexican's remark. And the schmuck writer says the Mexican consulate in Denver did not immediately return a call seeking comment. Hey, Mr. Paulson, the Savage Nation will give you a comment. Congratulations, State Rep Douglas Bruce, for standing up to the left-wing juggernaut. Why don't you put that in your article instead of calling up the Mexican consulate, you idiot? That's article number one in the Savage Nation. There are others, and I don't want to repeat myself every hour. You know, there's a stress in talk radio. One of the stresses is if I did 1 hour a day, there's no stress because you don't have to repeat yourself. The second hour, you have to repeat what you did in the first. The third, you have to repeat what you did in the second and third. It's hard. So what I'm going to do is, those of you who have been in the class from the beginning and didn't come in late, you can call 1-800-449-8255. The rest of you, just listen and catch up. That's all. Las Vegas, Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, so if you think you're upset about those M4s going overseas, here's something better.
I've got to do something. You're right, and I want to hear you badly. Let me just bring in the audience, bring them up to speed, because some people, truthfully, didn't come into the class late. The show starts an hour later in some markets. This topic that this gentleman is calling about is of paramount importance to us. The M4 is a fabulous weapon. It's no weapon is more important to tens of thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's the carbine rifle. It's made by Colt Defense of Hartford, Connecticut. It's the M4. And now we wake up to find out that a Republican senator named Tom Coburn and a group of corrupt businessmen are trying to get the manufacture of a carbine outsourced to Heckler & Koch in Germany or to a Belgian manufacturer. When is this going to end? When are these scoundrels going to be called in on the graft and corruption? Go on, now raise the stakes. Tell us how much worse it can get.
Yeah, so in 2005, Cynthia Brown, president of the American Shipbuilding Association, was quoted as saying that the manufacture of entire components and systems for Navy ships must migrate to China in the next several years under current Department of Defense policy because they have a policy with respect to outsourcing at the lowest price.
Oh, my God. So in other words, if China wanted to build defective components or put in bugs that only they could listen to or to deactivate our ships in the middle of a battle, that's okay with this sellout woman?
I don't know. In a world where you can tell legislators to step down and they can't speak, I guess this is normal.
Oh, my God. Well, as my producer Beowulf said, from guns and butter to buns and gutter in one generation. Does that work for you, from guns and butter to buns and gutter?
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out in the future. I suspect that's not so good for our grandkids.
No, I don't think buns and gutter is very good, but that feminist rat in Colorado is an example of the gutter and of the buns, not of the butter and the guns. When is this going to end? When are we going to get America back? When are we going to wake up to a country that is of itself, for itself, and by itself, instead of a country that's torn apart by greed and corruption? When? You think you're going to get it from Obama, the tin pot savior? The cardboard savior that the liberals think is going to save the world? How do they get this idea? What is it in the past of this con man that would lead liberals to trip over themselves with a hydrophobia that I've never seen in my lifetime? What is it about this man that separates him from all others? I don't know what it is. This is an example of liberalism as a mental disorder. Why do so many liberals believe that this cardboard savior, Obama, is going to save them in America? What is it about him, other than their own projections of white liberal guilt? That's about the only thing I can understand. I mean, there's nothing stellar in the man's background. So far as I know, he didn't fly any jets in combat. So far as I know, he didn't find a cure for polio. So far as I know, he didn't win a Nobel Prize for literature. So far as I know, he didn't develop or invent anything. What has the man done? Answer, nothing. He's been a lifetime politician. So that's number one. And so therefore, who's out there? I mean, you know, who's at the helm here? Who's waiting in the wings to save us? It's not the United States of America anymore. It's the United States of Goldman Sachs. It's not the good old US of A. It's the USGS, United States of Goldman Sachs. What's good for Goldman Sachs is good for America? Do you think so? Are you sure of that? When they look only at the bottom line, not at the salvation of America or the saving of the future or the saving of the currency or the saving of this nation. They're not looking at any of those things. They're focused only on what's good for the company's profits and their own profits. That's what a government is supposed to do, protect us from men like that. A government is not supposed to become a private bank, run by a private bank, for private bankers. This is one of the greatest scandals in the history of this country going on right before your eyes. It's the takeover of the United States government by Goldman Sachs. And make no mistake about it, they're running this government. Make no mistake about it whatsoever. They're running this government as sure as I'm sitting here. Their man, their future former CEO, is running the Treasury Department. You say, well, that's not necessarily bad. Who should run it? A high school gym teacher? So I'd say, well, no, he knows a lot about finance. He comes from an investment bank. Has he been good as a Treasury Secretary? Well, we just had a giant meltdown on Wall Street. Who was the Treasury Secretary? Paulson. Where'd he come from? Goldman Sachs. In the private sector, he would be fired for this collapse of the Wall Street Bank. He'd be fired. He'd be fired. Instead, he lectures us on what he's going to do to fix the system. I've never seen anything like it. It's one shock after another. It's as though we're getting hit with shockwave after shockwave after shockwave till the people are no longer capable of being shocked. And we have no leader. You're telling me Waldo is a leader? The man, the invisible president? That's what I call him, the invisible president. He's not there when you need him, and he's there when you don't need him. When you don't need him, he's giving a speech in a junior high school somewhere in a little chair. When you do need him, he's not there. So that's the world that I wake up to every morning, that I have to balance out, that I have to somehow sort and order, and I have to talk to the people about, and I have to pray I make sense, that I don't lose my mind or my more than my mind, my will to go on. Because I don't know how much longer any one of us can sit on the front lines and watch this day in and day out and day in and day out and not just give up and walk away from it all, because there's almost no – it's like looking at a cancer patient, and every day you come into the hospital and you, as an oncologist, and you try various chemotherapy, vitamin therapy, radiation, and you pray that the patient's going to get better, and every day you look at it, the patient's getting worse, the cancer is disseminating. We have cancer spreading through the body politic of this country. And don't you dare tell me that Dr. Barack Hussein Obama is going to save this patient. I don't believe a word of it. I don't think he has the history or the skills to save this country. Do you? So who is it, McCain? I don't know. We'll have to gamble on McCain. But who is McCain? Truthfully, McCain is Bush 3. There is no question in my mind that it's going to be Bush 3 under McCain. There's no question in my mind. Now, is Bush 3 better than Hussein 1? I don't know. Is Bush 3 better than Clinton 2? I don't know. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. I was watching a nature show the other day, so I see various animals, this and that. You know, I think I know most of these shows by now, so I see a sea otter. They're featuring the sea otter. And I never understood why the sea otter is always on its back cleaning itself, cleaning its fur. And I listen to the show, and it says, well, their density of fur is the greatest of any mammal, more hairs per millimeter than any other animal. And they have to live in very, very cold water, you know, obviously cold water in the Arctic, despite, don't tell Al Gore that, but the water in the Arctic is still quite cold. It's Arctic water. And the fur, if the fur becomes matted in any way, it loses its protective qualities, its ability to maintain heat. So the animal is continuously cleaning its own fur. So what we see is a cute animal on its back floating around, licking itself and doing little funny things is an animal surviving. And I thought to myself the genius of nature and the instincts of animals and how most of them are better with their young than are our underclasses. I'm telling you, I'm sorry to say it, but I can't take it anymore. These animals have better instincts with their young than most of our underclasses do in this country. And don't tell me there's no such thing as underclasses. Go look at cops. It's not related to race, okay? It's related to a lack of education, a lack of desire to take care of yourself or your children. That's an underclass to me. The animals are better than you are. The animals take better care of their children than most of the underclass do. I mean, it's disgusting to look and see an animal being better than a human being. But I don't think I'm the first person to observe that. Andrew, Chicago, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it is an honor talking to such a wise and passionate person. I think it's one thing to be passionate like those two idiotic Democrats that we have running, and it's another thing to be wise and know how to speak your mind. I want to remind your audience that your books are amazing, and I've been recommending it to many of my liberal friends, and I've actually converted a few libertarians and a few leftists over to our cause. I think we haven't become as vocal as we should be. And I think,
no, we're not vocal. We've been silenced by the Republicans, not by the Democrats. The Republicans have throttled us and silenced us. We are their embarrassment. We are the embarrassment of the Republican Party. We conservatives are an embarrassment to the Republicans. You know that.
Right. And they're just trying to cater to a lot of the things they do. They're being politicians, and politicians are trying to get as many votes as possible. And when they're there catering to the vote instead of actually doing what needs to be done, what can we do?
And well, what worries me is this is how communism arrives in a nation. It doesn't arrive overnight. It arrives by degree. Just as fascism didn't arrive in Germany overnight, it arrived by degree. Communism or Marxism, whatever you want to call it, is arriving in America by degree. In other words, when you have millions of poor, when you have millions of people who are on welfare who are still able to vote, when you have millions of illegal aliens who are encouraged to vote by the illegitimate government called the Democrats, what they're going to do is vote themselves a raise. In fact, if this is not stopped, they'll vote the native-born American out of his own country. They'll throw us out of our own country if we don't stop this. Do you know that? Who is representing us, Andrew? Tell me. Who in Washington represents your interests?
Oh, well, I have the wonderful Obama, who represents the majority of Chicago, who runs the entire state. So our votes don't mean anything here. We're basically stuck.
Well, you're in Chicago. What? Obama has no stellar record in the Chicago political world. He's not known for anything particularly stirring, is he?
Daily Machine, which won't end.
Right. He's another apparatchik in the daily political machine. They found the ultimate created candidate to foist upon the guilty white liberal, which is how he's gotten this far.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's
okay, so you have the Savage Nation, the enemy within, liberalism is a mental disorder. Do you have the political zoo?
No, I did not. I wasn't.
Hold on. Andrew, take Andrew's name. Send it on to you-know-who, and we'll get you a free copy of the political zoo. Right now I'm working on my autobiography. I started it a year ago. I put it down, and now I'm about to restart it along with the movie. I think I'm going to have them both come out at the same time, maybe next spring. I'm really going through, I don't know, I even want to indulge you with it, whether or not to do the movie. I don't know if I can take that kind of, I don't know if I want to expose that much about my life and all of that. I mean, it's a good story, you know, from the Bronx to broadcasting or Truth Against Power, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. It's not about the money. It's not about whether I fear it'll not do well or will do well. It's irrelevant. None of those questions really matter to me. It's just like a matter of, do you really want that much of a story told? Yes or no? I don't really know if everybody needs to tell their story in an age of everyone telling you their story on YouTube. I mean, do you really want need to read my story? What is it about my story that you want to hear that you haven't heard on this show? Let me put it to the audience as a small segment to the show. Let me think out loud with you. What would you like to read about in my autobiography that you really haven't heard over the last 15 years in talk radio? I've let out a lot of my stories. The Fat Al's Tuna, Dead Man's Pants, Woodchuck Bill. And many of these stories are very, very humorous and very poignant. You've heard about my years as a social worker and as a teacher. You heard about what affirmative action did to this native-born American, how it almost killed me. You heard how I overcame these obstacles and now have a larger audience or a larger classroom in 15 minutes than 25 professors put together over a lifetime. So that's quite an achievement. Yeah, having four nonfiction bestsellers in a row is kind of a record. There's no question about it. Fighting CARE on behalf of most Americans who are interested in free speech, that's a story unto itself. Not buckling under to the pressures of these issues, that's a story unto itself. But do you really want to read it? Or would you rather just hear about it on the Savage Nation? I'll let you call if you want, honestly. Maybe I'm just looking for callers on this to break up the political stuff a little bit. Or if you want to continue to talk about the politics, you can. MichaelSavage.com. The story. Mom refused to give up keys with child inside car. Illegal alien, apocalypto face, kills mother holding baby inside carjacking car.
Savage.
Here's a shocker for you. Now, how long have I warned you about the government media complex? Who gave the speech? Beware the government media complex. I did in 1998 before the Commonwealth Club. Former White House press secretary Tony Snowjob joins CNN. I swear I cannot believe this. Former White House press secretary Tony Snowjob will join CNN as a conservative commentator beginning Monday. This is it doesn't matter whether it's CNN or Fox or ABC or CBS or NBC. They're all the same. They're all the same. I'm not upset over it. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I don't believe any of them. But it's unbelievable to me. So that's the world you live in. You're going to get your truth from the television set? Yeah, right. Okay. Medford, Oregon. Aaron, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Mr. Savage, a while back I heard you speak about when your son was in high school or something, and you walked into his room and found some AC/DC tapes in his dresser or something, and you had forbidden him to have that kind of music, and then you listened to it later.
Yeah, that's a good story, right? When he was in high school and he brought home the heavy metal, I said, how dare you listen to this garbage? You cannot listen to this. And I seized a box of tapes, I think. So years go on, and years later, of course, the kids leave, and you're left with the empty nest syndrome. And you're going through their belongings, and you're sad. You know, you see the penance and the little boy thing and the foot. You know, it's touching. Your whole life, in a way, you know, is in the room. And I'm going through the tapes in one of my sentimental moods. I throw it in. It sounded very good, so I started using it on the radio show years later. That's basically the story. You know, things change, Aaron.
Yeah, I just was always fascinated. I always try and hope you would tell that story, and I finally get to hear the end of it. So, you know.
Well, I don't hide. I mean, what am I going to hide and say I didn't do it? I mean, there's nothing to hide. I've changed. My politics changes. I grew up and became a man. I no longer had the viewpoints that I had as a boy. I mean, as a boy, I was a liberal. When I became a man, I understood that liberalism is for boys. Thanks for the call. Boys and boys' toys. Portland, Oregon. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, Mike. I think you should tell your story. It's very important. My grandfather, who I was very close to, told a lot of great stories from his life experiences in the war and as a sportsman. And he's gone now, and none of his stories are on paper or in book form, and you really fill a void.
Well, it's interesting, Mike. I toss it up every day. I mean, I don't realize I've been in radio this long. To me, it's been like a year or two. It's been 15 years. This started out, and I've never stopped driving myself forward. But it's 15 years. This can't go on forever, Mike. The fact of the matter is the country's changed. I have not changed politically. I've gotten more fundamentally to the right than I was from the beginning, or I'm really where I always was, because the country's moved so far to the left that I don't know how we're going to avoid outright socialism in this country, which we're only a breath away from as it is. I think this election is going to tilt the country right into a socialist nation in terms of taxation. That's criminal, number one, and the state ownership of major heavy industries, number two. But I don't want to go into that right now. You want to stick to the story? What should the story be, though? My story or the story of America and how it changed? When I was born, this was a different country, Mike. Remember, I'm the son of an immigrant. I'm a first-generation American. I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world.
Important impression to get across to people, and so people can look at that information and hopefully learn from a valid point of view where things were great and where we might be heading in the wrong direction in a lot of ways.
All right. Well, or it could just be entertainment. Austin, Texas. Gina, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think you should make your movie, Mike, and I think you should make it in a diary format where you talk about, you know, the inflection points in your life when you had real epiphanies of change and kind of tell the story around that and then speckle it in with your very entertaining life stories. I think it would be a great movie. I would absolutely go see it.
Interesting. It's interesting. Well, I'm thinking about how to do this. It's not going to be done with actors and reenactments. That's too theatrical and too difficult. That's not what I'm going to be doing at all. It's going to be a docudrama more than anything else, and I'm going to narrate my own story. That's the interesting part, Gina. I'm actually going to narrate my story because there's a format that I've always liked, which I don't want to give away, which I've liked since I'm a child. It's an old movie format that I want to use now all over again with me actually narrating my own story with, like, and then this happened, and then flash back to it and use photographs and whatnot to tell that story in a different way. You know what I mean?
I love that idea because then you can show the pictures of past time and what was going on in your life and in history.
Well, I have hundreds of hours of Super 8 movie film that's absolutely valuable. I've spoken to several filmmakers who salivate at the thought of that because they said, today everybody wants to see A-home movies in a documentary, number one, because so little of it has been done properly. But number two, in your case, it would be invaluable to incorporate some of these Super 8 movies. I mean, I have the Fiji years. I have all of those years. I can probably have relatives send me earlier stuff from childhood. God only knows what that must be like. Somebody must have old Kodachromes done with literally, you know, World War II, post-World War II Kodak cameras. I can't imagine what that would look like in a big screen. You know, I don't mean the whole movie old, but you put it at the right time. In other words, if I told a story called Dead Man's Pants, and then I have to do some kind of picture of what I'm talking about. Where did this occur? What did the pants look like? What did my father look like? What did I look like as a boy when the dead man's pants were given to me? I think that would be a fun part of it, don't you?
I absolutely do. And also, you know, when you wrote your book, like, what were you doing and what was happening at that point in your life that kind of drove that epiphany you had that said, I've got to tell America about this?
Oh, my God, that's a good one. All right, well, I'm just thinking about it, that's all. I don't know where I'm going to go with it, truthfully. Oil. Oil, oil everywhere, not a drop to drink. Oil, oil everywhere, not a drop to drink. So the average price, U.S. drivers, they say, is $3.51. I paid about $5 a gallon out here in the area where people think they're so smart. They're the dumbest people on the planet. They're also interested in all of these tangential left-wing things that they can get ripped off everywhere else. They're morons. The San Francisco area is filled with the most big political idiots I've ever seen in my life. They're all concerned about all the wrong things. Gasoline's almost $5 a gallon. But they're concerned with important things, you know, like bicycle lanes. $117 a barrel at the New York Mercantile Exchange this afternoon. This is unbelievable. It's incomprehensible. It's just, in any other country, there'd be a vote of no confidence. The government would collapse. There'd be a formation of a new government. How could this go on? How in the world can this go on? How much longer can it go on? Bank of America's first quarter profit shrinks amid economic worries. Did you hear that one? Did you hear that little story today about B of A? That's another story that most of us can't pay much attention to. Bank of America profit falling 77% on $6 billion bad debt. Every day we're getting hit with another shock. Now, I haven't touched on the Texas polygamy fascism case, where the state of Texas took 400 children from their parents based upon a false phone call by a deranged woman in Colorado, who should be imprisoned, by the way, for 25 years to life for what she did. But so should the Texas lawmakers who stole the children from their mothers. Now, finally, I saw a little movement in my direction coming, not only from libertarians, but from the ACLU. The ACLU, which is usually so vociferous in their anti-family behavior, and the ACLU, which is normally so vociferous in pushing drugs and illicit and horrendous sexual practices and breaking the crosses off war memorials, finally the ACLU of Texas made a little tepid comment that they're concerned about families and how children are being taken away without due process. Isn't that nice? I mean, they would get more excited over a crack dealer from Mexico who shot a border patrolman than they would over this, you know, to see if they can run to his defense, even though he'd be found with 5,000 pounds of crack in a trailer rig. They'd be right all over that case saying his due process wasn't right, that they had no right to inspect the trailer because they were on the superhighway from Mexico. How dare the police go into the trailer? Now, although you found 5,000 pounds of crack cocaine, it's illegal because it's illegal search and seizure. You didn't have a warrant for it. That they get all over, that one. But, it's heartbreaking to see what they did to these children, how the state can become fascistic like this in front of our eyes. Right in front of our eyes, a state can become a fascist entity, giving little babies a DNA test. And all the liberals are cheering, yeah, give those ugly, dirty Mormon polygamists a DNA test. I feel as though I'm living in the Third Reich when I see the stories like this. So I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, I didn't talk about it today. I can't take it. I can't take it. It reminds me too much of Nazi Germany and of eugenics. Texas is like a eugenics state now. I've never saw anything like it. Why don't they have the men drop their pants and determine their ethnicity next? They could have some of the lawyers would enjoy that from New York and some of the others. They could say, drop your pants. You want to do an ethnicity test on you right now. What, am I shocking you now into the reality of what they're doing? DNA tests of babies? Can you imagine this? So this is what's going on. Now, wait, it gets even better. You know, global warming is very controversial as to whether it's anthropogenic in origin, meaning the slight uptick in earthly temperatures, which is less than a degree over a century, whether or not mankind has anything to do with it, is a controversy. I'm putting it in a context as fair as I can. It's very controversial. Most of us who've studied it know that it's probably really not being caused by mankind, and there's no need to panic. In fact, the Arctic is one thing, but the Antarctic is another. The other side of the globe is called the Antarctic, for those of you who know don't even know there's an Antarctic. And in the Antarctic, the ice pack is thicker than it's ever been in recorded history. Now, that's omitted every time it's discussed by Al Gorleone, the biggest criminal of our time, and the other shills for the global warming business, big global warming, I call it. Big global warming, you want to tax us out of existence. So we know about Al Gorleone. He's a man who in his early life was a recipient of huge sums of money from a coal company, Occidental Coal. His father, ex-senator, what's his name, Gore, was the president of Occidental Coal Company. So here's a man who made his money going into this and makes his money going out of it. You know, it's like the pig, the guy says he sells everything but the squeal. I mean, Al Gore made it both ways. He made money selling coal. Now he's making money selling carbon credits. He's not stupid. You got to give Gorleone credit. He knows how to run a crime enterprise. I got to hand it to him. But now I wake up and I see that he hires Al Sharpton, an illiterate, by the way, from the streets of Brooklyn, who, as far as I know, has no credentials whatsoever in climatology, meteorology, let alone a high school degree, so far as I know. Wait, together with Pat Robertson. Wait, it gets better. Together with Nancy Pelosi. Wait, it gets better. And the GOPAC tick, Newt Gingrich, all bought off by Al Gorleone's money. And they put out an ad campaign on global warming. Every day it gets crazier by the second. Not one of these people is qualified to discuss climatology. None of them. None of them. The least, of course, is Al Sharpton. But here he is, Sharpton, Robertson, Pelosi, and Gingrich, holding hands together in clip four. Listen to this.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leaders, we can spark the innovation we need.
Go to wecansolveit.org. Together. We can do this.
Newt Gingrich is the biggest prostitute of them all. I mean, you'd expect this from Nancy Pelosi. This you'd expect from her, okay? But Newt Gingrich? He must be desperate for a few bucks. Wait, now it gets better. He is the artist couple of our lifetime, Al Sharpton, okay? Al Sharpton, a man who we still don't know if he earned a divinity degree and where he earned it from. We know he doesn't have a climatology degree. And Pat Robertson in the next one. Listen.
Al, let's face it. We're polar opposites.
We couldn't be further apart. I'm on the left.
And I'm usually right. And we strongly disagree.
Except on one issue. Tell him what it is, Reverend Pat.
That would be our planet. Taking care of it is extremely important.
We all need to work together, liberals and conservatives.
So get involved. It's the right thing to do.
Now there you go again.
Join us. Together we can solve the climate crisis. Go to wecansolveit.org.
I've never heard anything like this. It's mass hysteria. It's massive propaganda. Leni Riefenstahl, who was a filmmaker who worked for Goebbels, the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, could not have done a better job than that particular set of horrendous, shallow commercials. I'll be right back. Savage.
I am very happy to be a passionate man. I love this country. I love what we stand for and believe in. And many times I deal passionately when I
he really sound doesn't he sound passionate on the way to the proctologist?
And so 15 years ago.
You know, there's a difference between being a crackpot with anger and passionate, John. You know, if this keeps up, you know what I'm going to do, John McCain? Everyone listening to the show, all of you, millions of people, write this down. If McCain refuses to come here and talk to the Savage Nation about borders, language, and culture, I'm liable to endorse him to destroy his chances to become the president. That's right. Unless McCain comes on the show to meet you and answer your questions, I'm just liable to go ahead and endorse John McCain in order to destroy his campaign. Because I can guarantee you, if I endorse John McCain, whichever of the two Democrats win will jump all over it and say, Michael Savage, who you well know is a this and a that, endorsed John McCain, blah, blah, blah. It'll destroy McCain if I endorsed him. So McCain has to decide which way the wind blows and which side he's on, unless he comes on this show and answers the independent conservatives who exist in this country, or the independents, if you want to put it that way, who may not even say they're independent conservatives, but they're independent. I'm going to tell you, I'm liable to endorse him just to destroy his campaign. How's that for an idea? Does that work? That might work. 1-800-449-8255. Now, tomorrow is the big day, of course, when the show is on around this time. The polls will be closing in Pennsylvania, and we'll be the first in talk radio to have some of the results for you, and we'll talk about it. Every poll saying she's going to win, which is good. I'm frankly very glad that Hillary is going to be in the race. For two reasons. One, because I want to see them continue to chop at each other for a long time. And two, because I'd much rather see it between Hillary Clinton and John McCain than between this mysterious, unknown quantity leftist associated with bomb throwers and John McCain who drop bombs. I mean, I'll take a guy who drop bombs over a guy who's associated with bomb throwers. Let me put it to you that way. Norfolk, Virginia. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I have a
suggestion
for your movie.
What is it?
It's Savage Planet. You can even make it a three-parter. You can talk about the first part, how you were growing up in the hardships. Second part, all the faraway places that you've been to. And part three would be all the things that are happening currently. Like the
interesting. Well, the Savage Nation works, whatever. Everyone's got a nation now. The ball teams, the Raiders Nation. Everyone uses the nation gimmick. So I know tomorrow we're going to read Obamanation, which is good. I can't wait till they rip me off. When they call it the Obamanation tomorrow or after the next day when they hear it here, I'll say, yeah, it is an abomination. There's no question about it. 1-800-449-8255. Tomorrow's the big day. So those are some of the stories. They say that Clinton shows a big lead in Pennsylvania and Cash is becoming Clinton's Achilles heel. Where is Obama getting $50 million a month from? Can anyone answer that little question? He's an unknown guy, not as well-connected as Hillary Clinton. Where is he getting $50 million a month from? Who's giving it to him? How is it happening? Who's funneling this much money into this unknown stealth candidate's coffers? Where's it coming from? You want to talk about money? Let's talk about money. Where is the money coming from? Two. Why is there no coverage of the Resco trial in Chicago? Who is Resco? How does it connect to Obama? Why is the press in Obama's pocket? Four, why is the Justice Department not investigating the cash flow into Obama's campaign? Five, six, through 1,000. We'll continue to ask these questions. Portland, Oregon. Donna, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Barack Obama is running on change, right?
Yes.
I feel there's going to be as much change as when Nancy Pelosi stood on the steps and said, there's a new Congress in town. What changed?
What changed is the Democrats were able to get money and rip it off from the taxpayers to the same extent as the Republicans through a war profiteering. That's what changed. They meant change for them, not change for you.
God help us if he gets in with his.
Yeah, well, I don't think Barry Obama has a ghost of a chance. This is all media hype. The average American's not going to put this unknown man in place. There aren't enough guilty white liberals to do that. I mean, I'm going to give it to you, Nate. The show specializes in psychological nudity. That shocked people, but that's the essence of it. There are not enough guilty white liberals to elect Barry Obama. You know that? That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. All the guilty white liberals who work for Associated Press and the news media already been heard from. You haven't.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leaders, we can spark the innovation we need.
Go to WeCanSolveIt.org. Together, we can
do this. Fourth grade.
Now, let's face it, we're polar opposites.
Yeah, now it gets
we
down to the
be
gutter.
Further apart. I'm on the left,
and I'm usually right.
Now you know a lot
and
about
we strongly disagree.
Meteorology.
Except on one issue. Tell them what right. It is, Reverend.
Expert on the environment,
be
Al.
Planet.
In between the bullhorns and Freddie's fashion mod fire, you were studying for your PhD in climatology, I guess.
So get involved. It's the right thing to do.
Now, there you go again.
Join us. Together, we can solve the
all
climate crisis.
All right, turn it off. Next one. Give us Rep. The next
Sanders,
two.
This bill has to do with labor.
Coming.
Don't argue with the chair. The bill has to do
Zingheil!
With the labor issues identified and the pilot program. We do not need an entire explanation of how you feel about immigration. I want you to focus on the bill or I won't recognize you further.
You're asking me to leave?
I said focus on the bill or I won't recognize you further. Okay. You have the opportunity to speak to the bill right in here and now.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I read the bill word for word, and I thought it was about importing up to 5,000 additional aliens into this country. I would like to have the opportunity to state at the microphone why I don't think we need 5,000 more illiterate peasants in Colorado.
Representative Bruce. You are no longer recognized in the well. How dare you?
How dare you? Said State Rep. Kathleen Curry, a Democrat, who is serving as chairwoman during the debate. We have one like here and one just like that here, the same sounding voice. The same exact voice. The Mexican consulate in Denver did not immediately return a call seeking comment, says Stephen Paulson, Associated Press writer. So they all work for some other powers, all of these people. They're more concerned with the Mexican consulate than how the American people feel about calling illegal aliens illiterate peasants. Now, would you argue that most of the illegal aliens are literate? No, because they're illiterate in their own language. Do you know that most of them cannot read nor write Spanish? They can speak a rudimentary form of Spanish, but they are functional illiterates in their own home language. And the word peasant or paisan refers to people who work the earth. So illiterate peasants is a correct description of these folks. Now, why would they be so shocked? Why would State Rep. Kathleen Curry get so upset and say, how dare you? What should she call them, Einsteins? The Einsteins from Mexico? Cincinnati, Ohio. Joanne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I have an interesting connection here for you. I know you love old movies. Do you remember the one, the picture of Dorian Gray?
Yes, I do. Dorian Gray. Yes, I do, but who wrote it? Who was the English writer who wrote it? I can't remember his name right now.
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, okay. Okay, so it's about a man who becomes corrupt, and as he becomes corrupt, his own portrait changes.
Correct. And he kept it covered up with a blanket so you couldn't see it. And at the end, they revealed exactly what the picture looked like, and it was horrible. But
okay.
I'm comparing him to McCain.
Why do you have such a fear of McCain? Let me put it to you that way. What do you fear about him?
I think he's been brainwashed way back when he was supposed to have been a prisoner.
Actually think he's a Manchurian candidate? You think he's that dangerous?
Yes, I do. Yes, I very definitely
oh,
do.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that one in a long time. So you mean what we got to watch out for is the Queen of Diamonds being flashed in front of him?
You betcha.
So you think he was brainwashed by the communist Chinese and they're going to be the victors here if he wins?
He actually recorded some things for the his captors that he was saying that the United States was evil and it was all over.
You know, this is one area that I'm going to totally disagree with you. The man was tortured. They broke his shoulders. They hung him from rafters. The vermin in Vietnam who should be hunted down, of course, and tried in The Hague are probably running 7-Elevens in Orange County right now, for all I know. I'm sure some of them are good friends with the people on Wall Street. But I would not at all blemish McCain's war record. I think that's one area that I would absolutely avoid talking about because it's untrue. As far as illegal immigration, yeah, I don't trust him at all. As far as taxation, I don't know. Where does McCain stand on taxes? How come no one asks him a fundamental question on fiscal conservatism? Let's put aside everything else. Let's say you're a social liberal. Even if you're a social liberal, you don't want taxes to go any higher because it's going to be a disincentive for you to even continue working if this keeps up. You may as well just play dominoes like in Cuba and get ready to drive the same car for the next 30 years. If they raise taxes the way Obama is threatening to raise taxes, you better get ready to just play dominoes outside your house and never go to work again and just keep driving cars from the vintage 2008. Or 2005 through 2008. And in the year 2020, it will look like Cuba with 1950s cars. The economy will be broken. The stucco will be falling off all of the Tuscan villas in Marin County 30 years from now, and no one will paint them because there won't be any money to even paint the Tuscan villas. What do you think happened in Cuba? When communism took over in Cuba, why do you think the infrastructure of Cuba fell apart? It's starting to look like San Francisco, starting to look like Cuba. Hundreds of millions of dollars stolen from the taxpayers here in San Francisco. The roads are broken. The tunnels are filthy. The streets are dirty. And the mayor, any Twosome Newsome, has anyone asked them why the streets are broken? Why the tunnels are dirty? Why the streets are dirty? Where are the hundreds of millions of dollars going, Mayor Newsome? Has anyone asked Arnold Schwarzenegger? Where are the billions going, Governor? $15 billion deficit? Why are the roads broken, Governor? Why is the infrastructure broken, Governor Schwarzenegger? Where have the billions of dollars gone, Governor? So in Cuba, when the communists took over, once beautiful avenues of mansions were left, they were abandoned when the Cuban people who were worth anything ran out of there to Florida, mainly to Florida. And, of course, the mansions were then occupied by numerous families, as in the movie Dr. Zhivago. That's how communism works. Think of your house and think of five strangers in each bedroom. That's what Obama will give you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, the leftist media would have you believe that the troops are all coming up from Iraq, putting down their rifles and picking up protest signs. It's a total lie. Alan West is an ex-lieutenant colonel who served bravely and was railroaded by the liberals in the Pentagon. He came back from Iraq, and he's decided to serve his country yet again by running for Congress. Alan West, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, hi, Michael. I really appreciate you having me on, and greetings to you and to your listening audience.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Well, I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I started out in high school ROTC in the 10th grade there in Atlanta, Georgia. Then I went to college at University of Tennessee, earned my bachelor's degree, and also my commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. I served 22 years in the United States Army from the rank of second lieutenant up to a lieutenant colonel. Officially retired 1 August of 2004 as a lieutenant colonel with honorable discharge and full retirement pay and benefits. And after being down here in Florida, I taught high school for a year at Deerfield Beach High School, but still had the desire to continue to serve the country, and so I volunteered to go back as a civilian advisor to the Afghan National Army, and then I did that from June of 2005 to November of 2007 for 2.5 years. I have a great family. If you go to our website, www.allenwestforcongress.com, the homepage there has my family. I have a wife, Angela. We've gone on 19 years of marriage. She's a PhD, and she's right now a financial planner with Raymond James, so she keeps me pretty squared away on the economic issues. I have a daughter, Aubrey, who just turned 15 this past Wednesday, and she's finishing up her freshman year of high school, which, of course, keeps Dad busy with some of the vultures that hang around. And I have a youngest daughter, Austin, who is 11, and she's in the fifth grade. And, you know, she's in that I'm not yet a teenager. I'm still kind of a kid in between mode, but she's still a darling.
Remind the Savage Nation about when you were on the show before.
Well, if you recall, I had come under an investigation for an action that I took back in Iraq as a battalion commander where I fired my service pistol over the head of a detainee to convince him to provide information in reference to a likely ambush against my soldiers, and he provided us names and some specific information, and we were able to ensure that our guys stayed safe. And, of course, there was a thing about a court-martial that came after that, which died down. We went through an investigative hearing, and it was resolved that I would just pay a non-judicial fine of $5,000. And when I got back from Iraq, I put in my retirement papers and went to my second life.
Why did you feel the need to run for Congress?
Well, running for Congress is all about continuing to serve the country. I think that there is a serious need for issues to be resolved and standing up for the American people, just the same as I guess I did the same action over in Iraq, taking a stand for my soldiers. So that's my whole focus, is to continue to serve the American people and the people here in Congressional District 22, just in a different uniform, suit and tie.
What is the focus of your run? What are you standing for?
Well, the biggest thing I think we have to bring back is American leadership, honor, and integrity to the U.S. Congress. We also have to get focused on courage, character, and competence in our elected officials. The thing my parents raised me to understand was, if you have an education and if you understand what you want to be in life, no one can hold you back. And that's one of the key things we've got to realize in this country is America is a land of equal opportunity. But when people start talking about equal achievement and engineering outcomes, that's not the American way. And that goes back to that premise of individual responsibility and accountability. That's probably the foundational basis of my conservative ideology is the individual has to be responsible. We've got to get away from the welfare victim mentality in this country. The number one big thing for me is national security, because that's a tough fight that we're in right now. And having 38 months since March of 2003 between Iraq and Afghanistan, I think I have a pretty good perspective of what's going on over there. Then also we've got to talk about energy independence, which is a key and vital part of our national security, illegal immigration, and doing the right things as far as the economy. The number one thing that I stand for is restoring individual responsibility and accountability in this country, and that means we need to stop the growth and the spending of the federal government and get the money put back in the pockets of the individual Americans.
Well, how are we going to bring those values back?
Well, you've got to start getting people in the halls of Congress that believe in the American values and not the respective special interests and self-serving values that they seem to evidence each and every day to the American people. And the great thing about the system now with the Internet, things are becoming so transparent that it's very hard to hide. So you can dial up someone's voting record and see how they stand on the issues. And you can make a difference. And I think the American people right now, I think the last poll just showed about a 21% approval rating of Congress. They are not happy with what's going on up there in Washington, D.C.
In your opinion, what's gone so wrong with the political world today?
Well, the number one thing is you have far too much pandering to special interest groups and lobby groups. You also have people that are sent up there to be representatives of the people, but they end up seeing themselves as having their own little fiefdoms in these congressional districts or in their position there in Congress or even in the Senate. So I think that what the American people are starting to see is that there is no reason why these issues have to remain on the table. A great example was last summer with the amnesty bill that was out there, and the American people stood up, they took a stand, and we still have that issue on the ground. There's nothing being done to secure our borders. There's nothing being done from the federal government to enforce our laws. There's no discussion even from presidential candidates on this thing called illegal immigration, which really touches so many different aspects of our country. It touches our economy, touches our health care, touches our education, it touches our national security. But yet you see everyone talking about things other than that, which I think still is one of the critical issues. And that just shows the populace that the folks that we have up there in those halls of Congress and in the Senate are not paying attention to what the American people want done, and that's resolve issues.
How much of the blame goes to the mainstream or midstream media?
I think there's a huge blame on that because the media, they're directing the political scene for what they want it to be. And it goes back to that kind of soundbite mentality that the American people have. We've got to get away from having this election cycle politics where we are just promoting things in the now, what we believe people want to hear to make them feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside. We have got to get back to visionary leadership because a lot of the things that we are dealing with in this country, we've been there before. We had an oil embargo back in the late 70s, which right then we should have understood this country should be working toward energy independence. When we did not support the Shah and the Ayatollahs took over, that brought in the Islamic Revolution. Now we have to deal with Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and the Iran, which is a burgeoning terrorist state and possibly a nuclear state. So we've got to get leaders who are not thinking about the here and now, but they are thinking about where do we take this United States of America, what is best for the American people and for the sustainment of this republic.
Well, where do you go from here? What do you see for the future?
Well, hopefully we can pull out this win down here in Congressional District 22. This district was held by a Republican Congressman, Clay Shaw, for 26 years. But, of course, part of that whole debacle of 2006, the seat was lost to Congressman Ron Klein, but barely lost. It was only by 50.9%. It is a Republican district, and it can be won back. And the thing is, for me, you know, I just do what I believe the people would have me to do. And right now is to be a voice for them, be a representative for them, and bring that courage, that competence, and that character to the halls of Congress.
Alan West, God bless you, and best of luck in your campaign.
Mr. Savage, I really want to thank you for having me on. I want to thank you for the support that you gave to me back in 2003.
Savage. The crazy... The craziest world we've ever lived in has watched the spectacle of the movie Fitna, which tells the truth about Islamofascism, being censored around the world. But are Western liberals who say Islamofascism is the same as any other religion the real problem? And I said Islamofascism, I didn't say Islam. That's what Selwyn Duke is here to talk about with us. Selwyn, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Good to be on the show again. Michael, as you know, Dutch politician Geert Wilders' cinematic warning about Islamism made it to cyberspace a little while back. And to get it there, Wilders had to endure a lot of condemnation. For instance, his domain, fitnathemovie.com, was frozen by Network Solutions. The movie was removed from host LiveLeak.com's servers after threats against its staff, and then it was restored. The Dutch courts were reviewing a petition claiming that Wilders is guilty of hate speech, surprise, surprise, and Dutch firms are even threatening a lawsuit against him if they're hurt by a boycott of their products. And none of this is fair, of course. It's all political correctness. And needless to say, I have no problem with political incorrectness. But I do have a problem with the movie, with something you might call philosophical incorrectness.
Oh, yeah, really?
Let me preface my critique by saying that I give Wilders a lot of credit. I mean, no one wants to be the next Salman Rushdie, or worse still, Theo Van Gogh, or the next hate speech law casualty. So I applaud his bravery, as I'm sure you do. Having said that, his movie nevertheless reflects the very secularism that has rendered us susceptible to foreign ideological domination in the first place.
Well, what do you mean?
Here's what I'm talking about. Toward the end of the movie, Wilders shows an imam saying, in essence, that Islam is superior to other faiths. Now, this sentiment was featured for a very good reason. You see, it's thought to be a violation of a certain secular commandment, one whose embrace is considered the epitome of tolerance and the prerequisite for peaceful relations. It goes like this: thou shalt not proclaim thy religion superior. And the idea is that we can all get along if we just agree that all faiths are morally equal. Now, on the surface, this does seem rational. We figure that embracing what I call religious equivalence doctrine is a reasonable compromise. After all, if no one proclaims his religion superior, there's then no call for anyone to be offended, right? There's no fuel for doctrinal arguments. But it's also a huge philosophical mistake, and here's why. Let's examine this. Since different religions espouse different values, not all religions can be morally equal unless all values are morally equal. And if you say all values are equal, you're expressing the idea known as moral relativism, the notion that we can't really say any values are superior to others because they're all products of man and therefore synonymous with opinion. Now, what's the problem with this? Well, if all values are equal, think about this. How could peace be better than violence? How could tolerance be better than intolerance? How could not giving offense be better than doing so? And how could getting along be better than conflict? Huh? Heck, for that matter, how could the doctrine of religious equivalence be superior to religious chauvinism? You see, for this reason, to seek peaceful relations through any relativistic creed is self-defeating, because here's what you have to believe. You have to believe that you can credibly advocate the superiority of certain doctrines, like that which says peace is better than jihad, while also upholding the doctrine of the equality of all doctrine. So really, any moral model that has relativism at its core is doomed to failure, because it'll negate itself.
Well, of course, we need to be able to state that civilization is better than madness.
Let me further illustrate the unsoundness of this idea. We know, Michael, that we make judgments about ideologies all the time, right? We may condemn liberalism or conservatism or whatever it may be. And we can make these value judgments. Why? Precisely because, just as with religions, different ideologies espouse different values. But here's the thing. If we really believed all values were equal, we couldn't do this. We'd have to view Nazism and communism as morally equivalent to everything else. Now, is this ludicrous? Of course it is. But it's no less so than when applying it to religion or anything else. But what's so tragic is, as ludicrous as it is, relativism has nevertheless taken hold and imperils us tremendously. You see, here's the thing. By blinding us to morality, it has also blinded us to immorality. By telling us that nothing can be truly right, it has blinded us to what's truly wrong. And here's what I'm saying. If we believe all values are equal, then how can we possibly believe that some sets of values are evil? And if we don't believe evil can exist, we won't be on guard for it.
That's the problem.
You're absolutely right, Michael. And you know, this places a certain phenomenon plaguing us in perspective. What I've just outlined is precisely why we don't perceive threats posed by foreign religions, ideologies, or cultures, or by domestic cultural innovations, mind you, no matter what their nature may be. It's why we naively march forward, assuming everything is a matter of taste, and therefore nothing can pose a danger. I mean, prayer in school, condoms in school, God and family, homosexual parades, what does it matter? It's just a matter of changing the flavor of the day, says the relativist. So, Michael, here's what we have to realize. We may argue about what constitutes morality, and we may advocate the acceptance of some foreign cultural norm or alteration of tradition on the basis that it's superior to what's currently the status quo. After all, this is possible. Sometimes newer, different things are better. But, and here's a mouthful, it makes no sense to say that we must tolerate something, no matter how intolerable, because we won't tolerate intolerance.
Totally crazy.
And that's exactly what relativists are saying. And let me say something else. You might think this religious equivalency fiction is the culmination of that old flawed admonition, never discuss religion or politics, but that's not the case. The truth is, it renders that maxim unnecessary. And I say this because if all values were equal, there would be no reason to discuss these matters because there'd be no answers to be found. In fact, there'd be no cause to even think about such things. There'd be no reason to use reason.
It's like the liberal animal farm. Some religions are more equal than others.
You're absolutely correct, Michael. In practice, that's how it works. That's how these liberals behave. But here's what we have to realize. Life is about finding answers. So, if nothing can be any more correct than anything else, there's no reason to think or debate. And then, to do so would be like saying, well, we know that no treasure exists, but heck, we're going to search for it anyway. So here's what we have to realize. Life is about finding answers. I mean, would we agree with the supposition that all scientific ideas were equal for the purposes of avoiding the rancorous debate we sometimes witness among scientists? No, it would be ridiculous, because if we ceased searching for truth in science, we'd stagnate and descend into error. And understand, it's no different at all in the philosophical realm. You can't achieve agreement by pretending that we can agree there's nothing to disagree about. You might as well assume we can achieve health by agreeing that nothing can make us sick. And, you know, this brings us to a handicap we have in our battle with Islamism, a very, very severe handicap. Whatever we think of the Islamists, one thing's for sure. Our zeal can't even begin to match theirs. And why? Because people will fight much harder for truth than for taste. And the Islamists believe they have the former. They believe they have truth. Too many of us, being moral relativists, don't even believe it exists. And that is their one great advantage and our one great failing.
Amazing, Selwyn Duke. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Savage.
Just about what your president does, it's what I'm going to ask each and every one of you to help me do. Because if we're going to have a clean energy future, well, then we're all going to have to be more energy efficient, aren't we? If we're going to have universal health care for everyone, then we're all going to have to make sure our children get off to a good start with, you know, good exercise, good nutrition.
Wait a minute. Who's going to pay for universal health care if the states are broke and the federal government's broke right now? Who is going to pay for universal health care? How can you people get excited about a candidate who comes up with a plan that's impossible to enact? I understand that politicians lie. I understand that. I'm not a child. We understand that politicians have always promised a chicken in every pot, especially in lean times. We understand that this crop of politicians is now promising pot for every chicken in these times. I understand that, a chicken in every pot and pot for every chicken. But don't any of you question where the money is supposed to come from? Doesn't anyone out there hear Michael Savage in my last book, or two books ago I wrote, if you want to straighten out the illegal alien problem, you want to straighten out the budget, make Mexico contribute one barrel of oil for every illegal alien per month. That would go a long way towards covering the social costs of carrying the illegals on the back of the American taxpayer. Mexico is swimming in oil, one of the largest proven reserves in the world. You don't have to ship it around the Straits of Hormuz. You can pipe it up from Mexico. Why is it not coming to us? Why does our government not demand that Mexico pay us with oil for the social costs of the illegal aliens? Well, ask yourself why our government doesn't force the Iraqis to pay us for the $500 billion it has cost us to liberate 24 million ungrateful Iraqis. The answer is quite simple, supply and demand. They do not want a greater supply of oil. They love the amount of money the oil companies are making, love it. Why would they want a greater supply when the demand is increasing and the supply is diminishing? The last thing on earth they would want is a supply of oil from Mexico or a supply of oil from Iraq to hit world markets. Why, that would probably bring the price of oil back down to $2 a gallon. You can't have a gasoline, rather, at $2 a gallon. You can't have the average person paying $2 a gallon for gas when you can get $5. And since the government works for the oil companies and for Goldman Sachs, as I said earlier, we no longer live in the United States of America, according to what I can see. We seem to be living in the United States of Goldman Sachs, USGS. That's the new acronym for the United States of Goldman Sachs. And that's where we are today. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255 on michaelsavage.com. I have these and other stories. In fact, I want to go through all the stories on my website. Oh, there's a picture of former President Bush reeling in a tarpon. See, he doesn't worry about these problems. I do. He's smiling away in an undershirt in the Florida Keys, and he brings in 135-pound tarpon fish, former President Bush. What does he care about the busted currency? What does he care about the endless war? What does he care about outsourcing of military contracts? What does he care about broken borders, a broken language, and a broken culture? Why should he care? So I go, why do I care? We've done real well. You care about it. Let the next president care about it. Well, the question is, who's going to be the next president? Can they do anything about it? Let's start with the top story on michaelsavage.com. For those of you who love illegals and think they all come here to work, tell that to the dead pregnant woman. Illegals accused of killing woman who was protecting baby during carjacking. I know this is an uncomfortable story for those of you who love Apocalypto. Mom refused to give up keys with child inside car, but the man from Apocalypto land killed her because she wouldn't give up her car because her baby was in it. The Apocalypto man, who has no soul apparently, who came here and carjacked one car after another. Friends honor Houston mother killed in carjacking, says the story. But that's not the whole story. Davila was 39 years old. She was killed Wednesday evening during an apparent carjacking attack after she stopped to pay her cell phone bill at a store in Texas. Now, of course, this group from Mexico had conducted a few carjackings prior to that, but they weren't afraid of America. They knew that with liberals in the courts and the ACLU, they'd be walking out of jail smiling any minute. The Apocalypto folks came to rely upon the fact that they could rape, murder, steal, and carjack in America and get away with it because the Apocalypto folks have good friends in the legal profession. So here's a woman. She goes into to a little store. She has her baby in the car. She leaves her baby in the car. And a surveillance video from the cell phone store shows a man. They say man. I call him Apocalypto man. In a gold-colored Ford Taurus. Now, of course, he stole the Ford Taurus. And it says the investigators, so-called, believe the carjacking was a spur-of-the-moment crime. The video shows the man, we call him Apocalypto, lunging for her car keys, then moving back towards the Ford sedan with Davila following after him. She was yelling, "My baby, my baby." That's why she wouldn't give up the car. Mother of five, she had been through two failed marriages before she met her current fiancé, Billy Brewer. And then the rest of the story is too ugly to tell you, but Apocalypto man stabbed her repeatedly in the chest and fled along with a second man, another Apocalypto man, who remained in the Ford without taking the SUV. The woman staggers back inside the cell phone store and dies. Deputies are searching for the men, the Apocalypto men, and the Ford Taurus, which was reported stolen in Houston, Texas. Detectives said the two men, the two Apocalypto men, had stolen beer minutes earlier from a convenience store. A clerk said the thieves left in a gold-colored Ford Taurus. But if they weren't afraid, they knew they could walk into a 7-Eleven, hold it up, and get away with it. Because before they could say Apocalypto, two crackpot liberal lawyers would be there defending them, saying they were oppressed minorities who were simply taking bread for their starving babies left in the trailer. And so the Apocalypto men continued on their rampage. And now a woman with a little baby is dead because she wouldn't give up their keys, the keys to her car. The Apocalypto men. They got away with the beer. They got away with the previous car. So why shouldn't they get away with another car? A surveillance camera shows a suspect in a fatal carjacking incident in Northeast Harris County. Do you notice how they write these people from Associated Press? Everything is sort of smooth and easy. There's no longer any attempt to show you who actually does the crime, unless, of course, it's a blonde, blue-eyed man. Then, of course, they identify the suspect immediately. But in this case, it was illegal aliens who did it. And if you want to read the rest of that story, go to michaelsavage.com. It's linked up there. On the right side, we have another juicy headline. Nazi judge to separate babies from moms, conducting DNA tests, giving babies away like cattle. That's Mike's headline for what's going on in the late great state of Texas, which has now become an experiment in the Third Reich to see if the Third Reich can be imported into the United States of America. Muslims tell McCain to drop Islamic terror label. Yeah, good luck. Why doesn't Bush impose export controls to keep Americans from food rationing? The answer is because daddy just caught a tarpon. There's plenty of food in America. When found somewhere in America, the younger Bush said, what food rationing? There's plenty of fish in the sea. No, I added that one for your amusement. That's if you can still be amused. I don't know if there's anything that can amuse anybody anymore. I really don't know. It's pretty horrible out there. Texas students can't write and speak English well. That's like an oxymoronic headline. You're kidding. Texas and students? That's an oxymoron. Texas students? Immigrants lack skills to replace retiring baby boomers. That's another moronic statement. Immigrants and skills? That's like saying Texas and students. Further down on michaelsavage.com, marijuana 101, school teaches ins and outs of pot. See, that's in Oakland, California, where the children can't add, they can't read, they can't write, but they know how to grow pot and smoke it. That's what they learn here in the Bay Area. PETA attacks meat eater Gore. You know, there's one thing you got to say about Al Gore and his global warming hype. And that is that it's been very green for Newt Gingrich and Pat Robertson and Al Sharpton. You got to admit that it's been very green for a certain number of people. Al Gore's con has been extremely green. Just listen to clip four. You'll hear how green it is. Listen, how green was my valley.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leader...
We need cleaner forms of politicians, and we need it fast. Now, I always distrusted Newt Gingrich. I always knew he was a fat fraud, which is why he wound up on Fox News as a regular contributor. That's the perfect place for him and the Reverend Sharpton. But how the audacity to be outright prostitutes and take Al Gore's money on a theory that is not proven is incomprehensible. How the man can get up the next day and shave without slashing himself, I don't know. But then again, I don't know a lot of things about politicians.
Savage.